Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
The outrage is palpable. You know, nobody wants to have the abortion debate with their six-year-old in their living room over the Super Bowl.
That's Jamu Green of the Women's Media Center, and she's reacting to the Super Bowl ad that's going to be playing. Hopefully it'll be playing during the Super Bowl, featuring Tim Tebow, Heisman Trophy winner, and his mother. And all his mother, as far as I can tell from all the media coverage, all his mother says is, you know, they would encourage me not to keep this baby, little Tim. But I decided to keep Tim. And look, Heisman Trophy winner, I'm glad my son was born alive. Now, that's a pro-life message that is not sitting well at all with pro-abortion feminists. Joining us to talk about the feminist response, a bit overblown if you ask me, to this pro-life Super Bowl ad, Colleen Carol Campbell, a fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center. She's author of the book, The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back.
Hi, Todd.
When did feminists suddenly become football fans?
Well, as is so often the case with feminist organizations in America, when abortion became an issue. And we all know that abortion is enough to rally feminists to almost any cause. These days, the newest one is defending the sanctity and purity of the NFL's high holy day, Super Bowl Sunday, from the corrupting influence of a pretty gentle pro-life ad sponsored by Focus on the Family, merely telling the story of a football star's mother's decision to choose life for him. And this is enough to rile up the likes of National Organization for Women, Feminist Majority Foundation, MIDS Foundation, Women's Media Center, and all the others who say that this is offensive and demeaning to bring this story to air on Super Bowl Sunday.
Hate masquerading as love, it seems a rather strident response to, from what I've heard and seen, a very tame ad. I mean, tamer than any other Super Bowl ad you might see.
That's right. And certainly tamer than the typical halftime show or the costumes of the average NFL cheerleader. Certainly less offensive in terms of all of what feminists say they're normally concerned about. That is the exploitation of women and so on and so forth. The reason I think this ad is getting so much attention from feminists is because it is, in many ways, a gentle message that is powerful at the same time. And it's basically the story of Heisman Trophy-winning quarterback Tim Tebow's mother's decision to give birth to him after she had fallen ill during a mission trip in the Philippines and she had taken some medication before she knew she was pregnant that doctors thought would leave her with a deformed baby and possibly a life-threatening pregnancy. She is a committed Christian, as is her son and the entire family, and she chose to continue her pregnancy. Rewarded, of course, with a healthy baby boy who grew up to be not only a football star, but someone who's really become a model of humility and certainly of sexual restraint in college athletics, openly proclaiming that he intends to save himself for marriage and spends his summers doing missionary work overseas. I mean, this is a great kid. And, you know, the world would be a poorer place if his mother had made a different decision. The theme of the spot put on by Focus on the Family is celebrate life, celebrate family. It's not about condemnation. But again, when you tell these stories of real women's choices, it seems that pro-choice feminists, or really in this case I think we have to call them pro-abortion feminists, don't want to hear about any choices other than the choice to abort.
I am intrigued by the moral logic of a Terry O'Neill, now president, responding to the prospect of this ad, saying that's not being respectful of other people's lives, and saying it is offensive to hold one way out as being superior, a superior way over everybody else's. Although, if we follow that moral reasoning, it is O'Neill that is also holding out one way as superior to everyone else's. She says her way, don't run the ad, is superior to CBS's and Focus on the Family's way, run the ad.
Exactly. It's a completely nonsensical statement, as is basically this entire media campaign. I mean, these are groups that say that they are out to promote tolerance and freedom, and yet they're doing everything they can to bully CBS into censoring the ad. They don't want a debate. They don't want this issue aired, and they don't want to hear alternative opinions, and they aren't the moral relativists they claim to be. In many ways, they're moral absolutists. They're simply arrayed against what is the conviction of a growing number of Americans that abortion is a serious issue, and it's the taking of a human life, and it's not justified, and it certainly is a more serious issue than our current laws make it out to be. And so it's a silly statement, but it really, I think, shows you the desperation of this abortion-centric feminist movement. And, of course, there are other types of feminists, pro-life feminists. Feminists for Life is one notable exception to this sad trend. But for those feminists, and that's the feminist establishment in America who are obsessed with abortion, they clearly don't want to have a conversation on this issue because I think they know they can't win. They're losing, pretty clearly losing, from what we saw, again, at the massive turnout at the March for Life in Washington, D.C. last month, full of young people, young women, vocal about their pro-life convictions. The other side knows they're losing, and they don't want to have this conversation on Super Bowl Sunday or any other day.
I wonder about the miscalculation that may be underway here on the part of the pro-abortion forces. They're in a rather untenable position. It's not enviable. I mean, they have shrinking support nationally for their cause. They have their own, admitting that, you know, abortion isn't the best choice, but sometimes it's a necessary evil in effect. And I wonder whether or not their response to this ad is a miscalculation politically, given the atmosphere that surrounds this. Would be better just to let it run and say nothing rather than to kind of expose what you said before, their animosity towards a mother saying, hey, I'm glad my son was born alive.
Exactly. You know, this is a 30-second Super Bowl spot. It's in the midst of dozens of other 30-second spots, and frankly, it could have been easily overlooked in the mix. Now, I think many Americans are going to be watching eagerly to see what this spot is that's gotten so much free publicity from the likes of Now and the Feminist Majority Foundation. So in many ways, they've done pro-lifers a favor by publicizing this. But yes, I think they have made a miscalculation, not only on that front, but also because they look so silly opposing something that is really so benign, and they especially look silly doing so under the guise of protecting the purity of Super Bowl Sunday, which we all know is a blatantly commercial affair. It's a lot of fun to watch, but we know half the time you don't want your kids watching the ads or the halftime show. Wardrobe malfunctions and all the rest have certainly become part of this, unfortunately, spectacle. And so for feminists to say it's sort of this holiday that they want to defend because it's such a great American tradition, the same feminists who generally think even male-only sports are an affront to women's dignity, well, it's all just pretty silly, and it once again shows how far to the left on this issue so many feminist groups have gone and how far out of the mainstream they are. And they're really in some ways making themselves a laughing stock, and you know, it almost makes you feel bad for poking fun at them because it's so easy, almost.
The serious edge on this is that I think it is apparent even to those who sit on the fence, and there are many who sit on the fence on this. You know, I'm against abortion personally, but probably pro-choice by default. But it seems to expose at least the principles of the pro-abortion movement as also being essentially anti-motherhood. Do you agree?
I do, and it's anti-choice. They don't want to hear about choices that they don't approve of, and clearly embracing a difficult pregnancy in the face of possibly a disabled child or even a threat to one's own life is a choice they disapprove of. They don't want American women to hear about. In fact, one of the comments made by a Now officer was that this is a dangerous commercial. It's a dangerous story for women to even hear, and that it endangers women's health. Think about that. This is a group that purports to represent American women, empowering women, and yet they don't think women are smart enough to hear a real-life story and make their own decision as to whether that's a model they might want to emulate. So on so many levels, this is it's a real revelation, I think, of the weakness of abortion-centric feminism. And I think for those Americans who do sit on the fence, it's yet another piece of evidence about what this movement is really all about, both the so-called pro-choice movement and the pro-life movement. Just like the partial birth abortion debate, when you really push on these groups, you find out that they are far more extreme than they would like us to believe.
You can read Colleen Carroll Campbell's columns at our website, issuesetc.org. Colleen Carroll Campbell is a fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Thanks, Colleen.
You're welcome, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss the Super Bowl with Hall of Fame cornerback Roger Worley. We'll also discuss Jacob the Patriarch with Dr. Andrew Steinman. The church remembers him tomorrow, and we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week for Issues Etc. Soundbites. We'll pick them out for this week's audio. We'll play them for you, and then you get to vote for Soundbite of the Week. That's tomorrow, Friday, on Issues Etc. Isn't it amazing what a little thing can raise the moralistic ire of modern feminism? They have their own moralism, you know. It's a moralism quite upside down from traditional moralism. But their legalistic way of thinking is that abortion is the preferred choice. Not just preferred, but if a woman were to assert that she made the right choice, you see, they tell us in theory that either choice is right. Keep the baby, that's the right choice for you. Abort the baby, that's also the right choice for you. But when push comes to shove, we find out from feminists themselves that they do not consider the birth of a live baby the right choice. They consider abortion the right choice. So one wonders, in what real sense are they pro-choice if they leave women with only one correct choice when faced with abortion? I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.